Let us now turn in the Word of God for our instruction. We turn to the book of Numbers and the chapter 10. The book of Numbers and the 10th chapter. We read from the verse 1 through to the verse 28. The book of Numbers, the chapter 10, the verse 1 through to the verse 28. Come, let us hear God's holy word together. The Lord give us ears to hear and hearts to receive his precious and holy word. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, then the princes which are heads of the thousands of Israel shall gather themselves unto thee. When ye blow an alarm, then the camps that lie on the east part shall go forward. When ye blow an alarm the second time, then the camps that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journeys. But when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, that ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow with the trumpets, and they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, and in your solemn days, and in the beginnings of your months, ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up from off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran. And they first took their journey according to the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses. In the first place went the standard of the camp of the children of Judah according to their armies. And over his host was Nashon, the son of Abinadab. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Issachar was Nethaneel, the son of Zuar. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Zebulun was Eliab, the son of Helion. And the tabernacle was taken down. And the sons of Gershon and the sons of Merari set forward, bearing the tabernacle. And the standard of the camp of Reuben set forward according to their armies. And over his host was Eliezer, the son of Shedeur. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Simeon was Shelemiel, the son of Zurishaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Gad, Eliasaph, the son of Deuel. And the Kohathites sent forward, bearing the sanctuary. And the other did set up the tabernacle, against they came. And the standard of the camp of the children of Ephraim set forward according to their armies. And over his host was Elishama, the son of Amihud. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Manasseh was Gamaliel, the son of Pedazur. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Benjamin was Abidan, the son of Gideoni. And the standard of the camp of the children of Dan set forward, which was the re-reward of all the camps throughout their hosts. And over his host was Ahaziah, the son of Amishaddai. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Asher was Pagiel, the son of Ochran. And over the host of the tribe of the children of Naphtali was Ahira, the son of Enan. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. Amen. So reads God's holy, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. And may the Lord be pleased to add his own blessing to that public reading of his word. And may he grant his further blessing to the ministry of his word for the good of our souls and the glory of his name. Congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the Word of God, which I read to you in your hearing early in the book of Numbers and the chapter 10. And may the Lord be pleased to enable me to minister His Word this morning. May He grant that blessing that maketh the soul rich and addeth no sorrows. We pass over the chapter 8 and the chapter 9 of Numbers in our studies because those events, we covered them in the book of Exodus in the chapter 29, and they have to do with the sanctifying of the priests. Remember when Moses had to wash the priests and prepare the tabernacle, and then we read at the end of the book of Exodus that the pillar of cloud rested over the tabernacle, and so we covered those events. Now, for the sake of chronology, when we come to these passages of Scripture, we remember that at the close of the book of Exodus, in the chapter 17 of Exodus 40, that in the first month, in the second year, on the first day of the month, that was the day that the tabernacle was reared up. So second year, first month, on the first day. Then, when we come to the book of Numbers, we read on the first day of the second month of the second year. A month later, were the people numbered. So the people were numbered after the tabernacle was reared up. And it's difficult at times when we read through the book of Numbers, particularly chapter 8 and chapter 9, sometimes it seems that the chronology is a little bit out, but it's not. These things sometimes are revisited again, and that's why I said we won't cover chapter 8 and chapter 9, for we've already covered those events, namely the sanctifying of the priests, the washing of the priests by Moses, and the cloud coming over the tabernacle. So we come this morning to chapter 10. You notice in the verse 11, "And it came to pass on the 20th day of the second month, in the second year, that the cloud was taken up off the tabernacle of the testimony. And the children of Israel took their journeys out of the wilderness of Sinai, and the cloud rested in the wilderness of Paran." So the third significant event here is the moving on of the children of Israel, here in the second month, the second year, on the 20th day. So highly significant, a momentous event. And we want to consider what happened just before. You notice in the verse 1 and the verse 2 that God commanded Moses just before this event took place that two trumpets of silver were to be made. And we're told in this chapter what they are to be used for. And it's very significant, these trumpets. They are highly symbolic and significant, employed for various aspects of the people's journeying through the wilderness. They will have prosperity by these trumpets. They will be encouraged that the Lord will make them victorious in the battle, that the Lord is present with them because of the sound of these trumpets. And also these trumpets are to be used for the gathering of the people together, and also, as we will read, in the worship of the Lord. So we want to consider this morning these two silver trumpets and how highly significant and symbolic they are to the people there in the Old Testament, but they're also highly symbolic to us because there is a New Testament parallel and significance, and I trust that we'll see that by God's help this morning. Now, you'll notice, first of all, as we come to the verse 1 and 2, that these two trumpets were to be made out of silver and not brass, not any other metal. They had to be made out of silver. That's the first thing we notice. Verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shalt thou make them." So they, first of all, were to be made out of silver. Now, why is silver so significant? Well, you remember that silver, as we saw in the construction of the tabernacle and the various objects, was highly significant in terms of their symbolic meaning having to do with redemption. You remember that? The sockets of silver that were made under the great shittim boards around the tabernacle, they were all made of silver. And that silver came out of what is called the redemption money. Remember in Exodus 30, maybe you turn there, that will be helpful to see. Exodus 30 in the verse 16, it's there called the atonement money. And you remember in that passage that every male numbered had to give a half shekel. And that half shekel there in those verses is called the atonement money. And then if you turn to Exodus 38, in the verse 25, we notice there how all of those half shekels from every one of the male of Israel, as they were numbered, all of those half shekels were melted to form sockets that, as I mentioned earlier, sat underneath the boards of shittim wood, which went around the tabernacle. Those shittim boards couldn't stand otherwise. And we're reminded, aren't we, as it's called the atonement money, it means redemption. And we think of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that redemption. He not only gave his blood, but he gave his life as a ransom for many. Peter says, "For ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," but he says, "but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb." So this silver has to do with redemption. It's called the redemption money. And the shittim boards were held up by it. And also the hooks around the fence that went around the perimeter of the tabernacle, those were made of silver. And the chapiters as well, all of those were made of silver. All of these things signifying redemption. The sheets were held up, and we don't want to go back and visit all that imagery, but if we remember our studies there in the book of Exodus, the meaning of all of that imagery, picturing redemption. So first of all, redemption. And we think of the words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 20 in the verse 28. "The Son of Man came not to be ministered, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many." And that is exactly what he did. He bought us at a great price. We think of the word ransom. He paid that inestimable price of the debt of our sin, the sins of all of his people, and redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we have been redeemed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, remember, as we've seen in the New Testament, in Hebrews, these things of the Old Testament are called pictures of the true, shadows of good things to come. And so silver, again here, highly symbolic of redemption. And secondly, we notice there are two trumpets. Two, as we know in the Bible, is the number of witnesses. By two or three witnesses, a matter shall be established. Deuteronomy 9, the verse 15, "At the mouth of two witnesses, or at the mouth of three witnesses, shall the matter be established." It could be established by two. And when we think of these trumpets, they're announcing. We think of the proclamation. As the trumpet was blown, there was an announcement. And symbols at the same time of redemption. And so when we think of this, we could say the whole Bible, couldn't we, is an announcement of redemption. Right back in the Garden of Eden, when our first parents sinned, Adam and Eve, there was an announcement, wasn't there? It's called the Proto-Evangelion, Genesis 3:15, when God announced that the Savior would come and he would crush Satan's head. The whole of the Bible, from the Old Testament right through, is an announcement of redemption, that God would redeem his people. He would redeem his people by not silver or gold, but by the precious blood of his dear Son. And we could say this. It's interesting, we note here that these two trumpets were to be made from a whole piece. In other words, from the same molten section. When a piece of silver was formed by these shekels, these two trumpets were to be taken from one piece and to be formed from one piece. And if you study the manufacture of instruments, say for instance a violin or a guitar, if the properties are not the same in those two instruments, they will not sound the same, will they? They will sound different. The violinist will tell you that unless the wood is of the same, they're never going to sound exactly the same. But here we have the two trumpets, and I suppose we could say both the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are one and of the same. Although they're two books, they sound the same note, don't they, of redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. We could apply this, I suppose, in that sense. There's a consistency, isn't there, throughout the Word of God, from the Old into the New Testament. And so they sound exactly the same. And what is that note? That redemption is by grace alone. It sounded in the Old Testament in the same way. Redemption is by grace. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is constantly pointing toward the new. And the new shows us the fulfillment of the old. It's a consistent note throughout the Word of God that God would save sinners by innocent blood, by the Lord Jesus. And so they were made of the exact same metallic properties. The consistency was the same. And you know, this is why we can preach from the Old Testament, from the New Testament, and we preach the same message, don't we? It doesn't change. Now, I want to show you from Isaiah chapter 27, the fulfillment, when we think of this trumpet that would sound, and we can see a trumpet sounding in the gospel days when the Lord Jesus Christ would come. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 27, let me show you how this is ultimately fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 27 and the verse 13. And we read these words, "And it shall come to pass in that day." Now, I just want to pause there for a moment. Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah, uses this expression many times, "in that day." And whenever Isaiah uses this expression, it always, always refers to the Lord Jesus Christ's day. For instance, Isaiah 11:10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse." Isaiah 4:2, "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious." In that day, you see, in that day, pointing to the Lord Jesus. But let's read on, Isaiah 27:13, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet shall be blown." You see the word there, the great trumpet. And what is that trumpet? "And they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcasts of the land of Egypt shall worship the Lord in the holy mount of Jerusalem." Now, looking to the day of the Lord Jesus, Assyria and Egypt, these old enemies no longer pose a threat, but they are employed, they are used, the names of those countries are used to describe people, sinners, metaphorically, symbolically. In other words, the person from Assyria was a captive. Captive, what are we captives to? Sin. Egypt is used to describe a worldly person in bondage to idolatry. Jerusalem, picturing God's people who were saved to himself. Jerusalem, the city of God. And you see, when Isaiah says, "in that day," he's pointing to the day of the Lord Jesus, the gospel day, "the great trumpet shall be blown." And we've been thinking upon this trumpet made out of silver, signifying redemption, God's redemption. And so when the gospel comes, the blast of the gospel brings this, what? The gospel saves sinners who are captive in their sin, saves them from idolatry, and saves them to God. That's the message. It's all symbolical. You have to study the Word of God in this sense. So this trumpet is a glorious thing. But we also know this. We're told, don't we, by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, that there will be a last trumpet that will sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. It pictures victory. It pictures salvation. It pictures God's redemption that is wrought through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you notice something else in the verse 10. Firstly, these trumpets were blown to signify a call to worship, a call to worship God. But as the people do, they are to remember that worship is on the basis of redemption. In other words, sinners, you cannot worship God unless you've been redeemed. God doesn't accept your worship unless you come in the righteousness of another, unless you've been redeemed by his dear Son. You're an outcast. Notice the verse 10. "Also in the day of your gladness and in your solemn days," those are those three annual pilgrimage days, those annual feast days when they would meet together, those solemn days, "and in the beginnings of your months ye shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, that they may be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. So these solemn days, whether it was the Passover, and then that which followed it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, on those kind of days, the trumpet was sounded. And again, it's on the basis of redemption. It's a glad note of triumph. And then what was another one of the solemn days? The Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, the trumpet was sounded. Again, it was to remind the people that it was all on the basis of God's atoning work. And then there was the Feast of Ingathering and Booths, where the people met. They met for that at the end of the harvest there, and they gathered together in Jerusalem in booths. And it was a reminder that all of their worship to God was on the basis, on the grounds of God's redemption. Silver trumpets. A note of God's triumph. Now, secondly, you notice in the verse 10, it was used in worship and offering the sacrifices. Verse 10, and also in the day of your gladness and in all your solemn days and in the beginnings of your months, you shall blow with the trumpets over your burnt offering. So as the offerings were burnt, there was a sound of the trumpet. And again, if you've ever heard a trumpet, it's a royal, isn't it? We think of royalty. We think of a king and we think of a queen. We think of victory. It's a victorious sound. And so when the burnt sacrifice was there and it was consumed, it was a note of victory, triumph, because of the sacrifice. And you see, that was meant to encourage the people. The people weren't to mourn when the sacrifice was given. But no, the note of the trumpet was a note of jubilation, of praise. God has brought in victory for us through the sacrifice. Let me give you an example. If you turn to 2 Chronicles 29 and the verse 27, we read this concerning Hezekiah. And here's just one example of how this was done. And as they offered up burnt sacrifices, how the trumpeters sounded. And it continued until the burnt offering was finished. 2 Chronicles 29, the verse 27, and Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began, also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. So in other words, it wasn't a note, as we read on here, and we will do, it wasn't a note of sadness, but a note of victory, because the sacrifice is being offered, and here is redemption being set forth before us, and God will receive his people on the basis of this sacrifice. Note the verse 29, and when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah, the king of the princes, commanded the Levites to sing praise unto the Lord with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshipped. So these trumpets, these silver trumpets, were to be used and to be blown when the sacrifice was being offered. Why? Because, again, here's a picture of the triumph as one who would eventually come into this world and lay down his life for his people. It's not a note of sadness, but it's a note of triumph and victory and redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do we blow trumpets in the church? How are we to praise the Lord? Well, the apostle tells us in Hebrews 13, verse 15, he says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We praise him who is our righteousness. our wisdom and our redemption. It is by him, not by the trumpet. You see, these shadows, these pictures have passed. It's by him, by his sacrifice. God has accepted him. He is now in heaven, and he ever lives to intercede for us. We don't need trumpets. We don't need a band. We don't need the charismania. We don't need people falling over the place, swooning around, doing silly things. No, we offer up sacrifice by him, by the Lord Jesus. Again, think of the words there in Isaiah 27. In that day, the trumpet shall sound. It's the trumpet of the gospel. The good news is the glad news that we have heard and that we rejoice in. Now, you notice at the verse, end of the verse 10, it says as a memorial. It means as a reminder. And it would remind them, you see, as they heard this trumpet, that God, while he looks at them and they're sinners and they're helpless and they're hopeless, but God has given that sacrifice once and would do so once. He would bring an end to these ordinances, would bring an end to the sacrificial system, and would bring one into the world when the gospel, when the mystery of the gospel should be revealed in Jesus Christ. And now we rejoice, don't we? You know that Psalm 89, the verse 15. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. That trumpet was a joyful sound. It was a sound of victory. But you see, the people that really knew it in their heart, the victory that God would bring in through his dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist says, and I believe that the psalmist is pointing to this not only this trumpet, but the triumph that we have in the Redeemer. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Isaac Watts, in his lovely hymn, blessed are the souls that hear and know the gospel's joyful sound. He's pointing there to Psalm 89, the verse 15. He says, blessed are the souls that hear and know the gospel's joyful sound. Peace shall attend the path they go, and light their steps surround. Their joy shall bear their spirits up through their Redeemer's name. His righteousness exalts their hope, nor Satan dares condemn. The Lord our glory and defense, strength and salvation gives. Israel, thy King forever reigns, thy God forever lives. Now you see, it's a reminder again that no matter how sincere you may be, no matter how often you come, God does not receive your worship unless it's on the grounds of redemption. The sacrifice, as it was burnt, had to have that note of the trumpet, that note of jubilation, that note of victory. Unless you know, dear friends, the Lord Jesus to be your Redeemer, you cannot truly worship the Lord aright. Unless you know sins forgiven, unless you know pardon with God, you cannot be accepted. It is through God's Lamb. Here were these sinners gathered around this burnt offering. They weren't to be sad, but there was a note of triumph as the trumpet sounded. And as the gospel sounds, is there a note of triumph in your heart for what the Lord Jesus has done for you? That's how we accept it. Remember how the Lord Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. He said, ye know not what ye worship. Friends, we worship in spirit and in truth. He said, salvation is of the Jews. Why? Because from out of the Jewish line would come the Messiah. This one, the Lord Jesus, who gives us victory and triumph, not only over our sin, but over the grave. Now the world can have its clamor, and by the way, the charismatic church as well have all of its clamor and its noise. But blessed are the people who know the joyful sound of the gospel. Do you know that sound in your heart? You may know it in your ears, but do you know it in your heart? That you were bought not with silver or gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And you see, we love this sound. We love this gospel. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk in the light of his countenance. Psalm 89 tells us we love the sound of the gospel. And it's on that basis that sinners are received. And so this is what, secondly, these trumpets were to be used for. Now, something else. You notice in the verse 3 that these trumpets were to be used for the calling of the assembly. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. In other words, these trumpets were used to assemble the people of God. These who had been redeemed out of Egypt. Where to? Right there at the door of the tabernacle, the house of God. And this is what the gospel does. The gospel really calls us to gather together into God's house and to praise him. Does the gospel do that for you, friends? This is one of the, yes, we should come and we worship God, of course. But is the gospel that which calls you? The joyful sound, the sound of redemption, is what calls you to worship God? When you woke up this morning, did you just think, oh, well, it's just another Sunday? Or did you say, no, this is the Lord's day. And I want to come and gather together with God's children because of the triumph that I have in the Lord Jesus. It is the day that he rose from the dead, triumphant over sin and the grave. And we gather together and we don't forsake the gathering or the assembling of the saints, but we gather together. The gospel, dear friends, calls us together. You see, it reminds us that we're not only accepted on the basis of redemption, but we are told to come together to worship God. There are many people that say that I am redeemed, but they're not gathering. They're not hearing the trumpet sound to gather the saints together to come and to worship. You wonder if people have really heard the true sound of the gospel, whether they have been redeemed. These people have been set free from Egypt, remember, to serve the living God. And that's what we have been. We have been redeemed from the Egypt of this world to serve the living God with gladness. It's a precious thing. The true church will gather together. The true people will love to gather. They'll not forsake the gathering of the saints, the assembling. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. It's not only the Lord's day, but the great day when the Lord will come. It's coming. And we long for that day when we shall see him, and we shall appear before him, and we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we shall be like him. We long for that day, don't we, if we've been redeemed by his precious blood. But fourthly, you'll notice that these trumpets were employed for the journeying of the people. Notice the end of the verse 2. And for the journeying of the camps. Not only for the calling of the assembly, but there and for the journeying of the camps. These trumpets summoned a march, didn't they? And it was the priests that were to blow these trumpets. The ministers of God called God's people to march. Why? Because of this redemption that we have in our Lord Jesus. And we are to march forward. You notice in the verse 6 as well, and they shall blow an alarm for their journeys. As they journeyed on, we're reminded here that there's a journey, but also that they are going through enemy territory, enemy's territory. It's going to be hard. It's going to be dangerous. The march must go on. And the gospel, does it not call us to march through this world? And the journey is going to be difficult. There are going to be many trials. There are going to be many temptations along the way. And you know this passage and all that follows, that the book of Numbers is so striking, because you note that as soon as they leave Mount Sinai, there's trouble. As that note sounded, they are not only being summoned to go forward and to march to Canaan, but they were marching into difficulties. This journey should really have only taken 11 days, but it took 40 years. 40 years. Why? Because they didn't heed the trumpet's warning. And the gospel's warning is that through much tribulation we shall enter into the kingdom of God. But these people did not heed. They weren't careful. So much time was wasted because they didn't heed. Truly, they heard the note of warning of the trumpet, but they didn't hear it inwardly. And many people will hear the warnings of the minister and the word of God as he preaches the word of God, but they won't really hear it. They will hear it, but they'll not heed it. And it is because of that many fall. Many fall by the wayside. The gospel calls us to advance. The march isn't easy. We must beware of the flesh, the world, and the devil. We thought, didn't we, in the prayer meeting this morning, he that overcometh, he that overcometh, seven times to all the churches. We've got to march forward. But as you march forward, beware, there's an enemy. And just as the people were noted here, that there was an enemy that they would be confronted with, many, not just the Philistines, but the Amalekites, the Hivites, all the different ites that they would meet in this land. And so will we. But we must heed. As you note through this book, there's also murmurings from within. Miriam, she starts to murmur against Moses and Aaron as well. There'll be fightings from within the camp. There'll be jealousies. There'll be all kinds of battles. And if we are like them, we will not advance in the Christian life. And the gospel tells us this in the same, it's the same note, you see, in the New Testament. Read 1 Corinthians 10. The apostle says, he that thinketh he stand, take heed lest he fall. He said many of them perished. Why? Because they didn't heed the warnings of God. You see, and as they heard that trumpet, they were reminded, we're going into battle. And the gospel tells us that every day. If I have been redeemed by this gospel, it calls me forward. And I must do battle, not only against my own personal sins, but in the world. I shall have much trouble, but he that overcometh. How do we overcome? Well, you notice the trumpet. It's an amazing thing that, as we told here at the end, and we'll see in a moment, that as they heard that trumpet, they are reminded that they shall overcome their enemies. They shall overcome. The trumpet sounds, dear friends, it's time to march. And if we have really heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Are we spiritually on guard for all kinds of temptations from within, from without? Are we watching unto prayer? Are we in earnest for these things of God? Well, dear friends, we must be. He says of the devil, he says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Every Christian will go through spiritual trials and difficulties. But the trumpet sounds, friends, and it's time to march. Today, we're a day's march nearer home, aren't we? Sometimes, as we've sung. Love that hymn of Isaac Watts, come we that love the Lord, and let our joys be known, join in a song with sweet accord, and thus surround the throne. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. We're marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. But are you really marching? There's the question. Or are you waning? There were those that just lingered, but not Joshua, not Caleb. These were men of vigor, men of valor, men of prayer, men of determination. And we have to be. You will not overcome otherwise. Remember how many that were numbered. There were two numberings. Only two men out of that 600 and so thousand men made it through and saw the promised land. Only two men. Well, you notice there are several blows here. One blow for the leaders to gather, the verse 4. So just one blast. Then verse 5, an alarm for the east side. And who was on the east side? Judah, were to rise up and go forward. And then on the south side, doesn't mean that the north didn't go, but the east and the south were the ones that were to lead. And then just a simple blow. Verse 7, but when the congregation is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. So I don't quite know what the difference is between the blow and the alarm, but inevitably there was some difference so that they'll be able to distinguish. And I suppose as Christians, we ought to be able to distinguish what God is sounding from His Word. When He says, rise up, when He says, watch and pray, we're to, of course, do all these things. Gather together. Don't forsake any of these things. The gathering of the saints, the worship, the praising God. All these things will encourage us. The trumpets, you see, were employed for these various means to encourage the people. But lastly, I said that we'll come to this. Fifthly, it reminded the people that the Lord would give victory over the enemy. But again, it's on the grounds of redemption, isn't it? They were redeemed from Egypt, weren't they, by the blood of the Lamb. What, to be left to perish in the wilderness? No! God has wrought redemption. Notice the verse 9 at the end there. And ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. Notice the verse 9, I'll start from the beginning. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God. See, the Lord's going to remember you. When that silver trumpet is sounded, the Lord will remember you. And what will happen? And ye shall be saved from your enemies. See, as they heard the note of the trumpet, they were to be encouraged. This is not by physical strength or might, or by my own will, but the Lord will remember me, and He will give me victory over my enemies. What's the spiritual application? Well, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Our victory is through the Lamb, through that redemption wrought for the Lord's people. There in Isaiah 27, in that day the trumpet shall sound. It has sounded. Christ has gone to the cross. He's nailed our sins there. The handwriting that was against us has been taken away. He has been raised for our justification. We are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us and gave Himself for me. Now, many of these people didn't take possession of their territories for many years. Why? Because they didn't heed. When the enemy came, they panicked. Instead of having faith in what God had said, when the trumpet sounds, your God will remember you, and He will give you victory over your enemies. And you remember that, Christian. Whatever conflict, whatever battle you're in, remember that God is remembering you, and that is a duty. You must remember it. You must believe it. You must pray on that fact that you are more than conquerors through Christ who loved you. And you must remember that when you face the last enemy, which is death, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Corinthians 15, 26, and he says in the verse 51, but he says this, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The trumpet will sound, and all the dead in Christ shall rise. You remember that as you go through the valley of the shadow in this life. As you go through many valleys, if you are following God's trumpet, if you are trusting in Christ, and if all your hope is founded on His redemption that He has wrought for you, I tell you, you're more than conquerors through Him that loved you and gave Himself for you. What a blessed Savior we have. And as they look to those feast days, those memorial days, those 3 days in the year when they were to travel, as the burnt offering is offered up, there's a note of triumph. The trumpet is sounded over the burnt offerings, and the people praised the Lord. Friends, do we praise the Lord for that redemption that we have in the Lord Jesus? Do we rejoice in our God? Well, blessed are the people that know the joyful sound, as Psalm 89 tells us. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. Do we know that sound? Do we know that victory? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I pray we do. If we do, let us follow His marching orders each day. Let us not forsake the gathering. Let us beware of the devil. Let us beware that there are wars from without and from within. But remember what the Lord said, He that is in you is stronger than he that is in the world. Amen. Let us turn to hymn 564 in our hymn books, 564. We'll sing that lovely hymn from Mr. Watts. Blessed are the souls that hear and know the gospel's joyful sound. Peace shall attend the path they go, and light their steps surround. And if ye go to war in your land against the enemy that oppresseth you, then ye shall blow an alarm with the trumpets, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemies. What a blessed reality for God's people. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee that Thou givest the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has become for us righteousness, wisdom, and redemption. We thank Thee for our blessed Savior, in whose name we met. And Father, His blessings we seek. Father, grant us all Thy blessing today. Grant us a day of rest in Him, a day of gladness. We pray that we will know triumphs over sin, and we will know fresh graces even today. Oh, so Lord, rest and abide now upon Thy people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.